Welcome in to another exciting edition of 11 Personnel. I'm Nick Roush, joined as always by my good pal Adam Luckett, who is ready to rip and roar all the way down to the Grove to check out, to watch the Wildcats take down the 14th ranked Rebels at Ole Miss. Luckett, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are we 2 days before you? Is it a day before you? You rolling out Thursday or Friday?
Friday morning. Leave the Luckett house Friday morning. Pretty pumped, Nick. Like, this is the good stuff. Like, this is why we do this. Pretty excited to get down there, see Oxford for the first time. First ever time for me being in the great state of Mississippi.
Whoa.
And so I'm just excited. I'm really excited to see all the Kentucky fans down there. I just, more so than the tailgate, I hate the, it's just going to ruin Friday night. And Friday night is usually my favorite part of these road trips. So that stinks. But
other ruin, than that, well, like it. We
not ruin, but it won't be the same. It won't be the same.
I mean, I speak for yourself. I remember a noon kickoff on New Year's Day last year, and I was ripping and roaring late. What excuse do you have?
That's true. Getting back to the hotel is my biggest worry. We're about 30 miles out.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have to figure all that out. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's not the same. You're right. It's a little different.
Yeah, but I do have a breakfast buffet at the hotel again, like I had in the Citrus Bowl, which was a game changer.
Yeah.
There in the morning. So that will be that. The Hampton Inn will hopefully have a nice little spread for me to get the day
started. That's a good one. Yeah, I was speaking with somebody who got a spot in Oxford, and, you know, quality inns don't have the most quality reviews. But like, man, the one thing that is high quality at the quality inn, that breakfast bar, they get the sausage. Really, if you just put sausage gravy on your breakfast bar, you got me sold. Just covering on everything.
Like, biscuits, gravy, and then sausage links. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Get that, and then we're ready to go to town.
And, like, unlimited coffee. Like, I want my mouth to be sweating. It's so dry because I've just dehydrated. I'm full of, white beer and black coffee.
Let Waffle Maker's a kid's game. Let that dumb mess with it. Just give me coffee black, sausage link, some biscuits and gravy, and boom, ready to go.
One thing I have never tried, but it probably wouldn't be bad, is to do the gravy over the waffle maker. Like, you never think to do it, but I would think that it would be like you get little pockets of sausage gravy held in the waffle. That
sounds you're really getting into the Mississippi here. Like, I'm pretty sure I can find a restaurant down there that does that. Nick, I've heard a lot of people are stopping in Memphis for barbecue, which is a genius. I don't know why I didn't think of that, but genius. If you're doing that, I highly recommend Interstate Barbecue. Excellent. When I had it in 2017, I know Rendezvous is kind of the big place for the ribs, but Interstate Barbecue from
top notch.
Yeah, pound for pound, that's the best I've ever had.
I'm a Owensboro mutton guy, and also Carolina Gold. I love mustard based things. My son likes to say, "Ew, Dad, mustard," but I don't care. I love it. Either way, I don't think you can go wrong. I know a lot of folks are doing. As you said, like the stopping in Memphis for Friday night. Never been to Beale Street, but I would imagine that's a good time as well.
Beale Street's fun. Probably the best Tim Roof I've ever been to is on Beale Street.
Oh, wow. That's a compliment right there.
So if you're looking for a local Tim Roof, go to that. That one's pretty nice. 2017, Sweet 16, Final Four, or Sweet 16 Elite Eight, the Luke May game. I was down there. It was fun until that shot, but God. Memphis, good time. Love Memphis.
Well, it's going to be a good time at Ole Miss this Saturday when the Cats head down to the Grove. Noon kickoff, 11 local time. The game did, in fact, sell out, but I just loved all of the just public shots that Ole Miss was taking at its fans for sucking. Like, they were begging for people to go to this football game, and they still kind of are. It's hilarious to me. They're pulling out all the gimmicks, and it still just became a shutout. A few days before kickoff.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see how many Kentucky fans are down there. I think there's going to be a lot, and I don't think – I think Ole Miss fans are going to be surprised by how many Kentucky fans are there. Like, this game has been circled in Sharpie for a lot of people here. And so I'm very excited to see how it shakes out.
It's reminiscent of all the LSU fans that made their way up last year. except that I feel like the home team, Kentucky fans were juiced for that LSU game. I don't get the same feeling from the Ole Miss fan base. Like, there's very much a, like, we stink, but we're still going to win kind of vibe I'm getting from them.
Yeah, I don't think we're very good, but it's Kentucky. We're going to win by 14, which is the vibe Kentucky gets every time they go to South Carolina, which is the vibe they get every time against Florida. And then Ole Miss, if it, you know, just like South Carolina, Johnny Gamecock or Ronnie Rebel is going to walk out. How did we lose to Kentucky? What is going on? And it just, it never ends. It never changes. Never ends. NFL quarterback? No. Nope. How did we lose to Kentucky? And so maybe they'll be saying that around 2:30 local time in Oxford.
I love that. Johnny Gamecock and Ronnie Rebel. We got to bring out Ronnie Rebel more often. Like, that was pretty good. And let's dive into the reasons why Ole Miss thinks fans think they stink. Where do you want to start with that? We could either start with our quarterback, or we could start with all the guys that are hurt.
Yeah, I think quarterback's the elephant in the room here. Jackson Dart was kind of, Nick, we go back to his recruiting ranking. Like, he wasn't an afterthought, but he was kind of a lower fringe four-star, I believe, going into his senior year. Had a monster senior season, and then scouting services fell in love with him. He becomes a top 100 prospect. He goes to USC. USC's a train wreck. Keaton Slovis gets hurt. He gets to start 3 games last year. I mean, he was very up and down. You look at him as a prospect. There's a lot of tools and, like, playmaking ability, but the questions are playing within structure. In decision-making. He's going to make some highlight plays, but he's also going to make some mistakes, and he's got to learn. And so far, that's when Lane Kiffin has had him on a short leash. Hasn't thrown the ball more than 30 times in a game yet for a team that's averaging right at 75 snaps a game and wants to run tempo. Like, they're just not letting him rip it. When they gave Corral a lot of free run. I think you're seeing a lot, like, they're running RPOs, Nick, but I think a lot of them are probably design gifts, maybe not wanting him making a lot of decisions out there. So for him, he's a wild card. Like, he's got a lot of potential, and he can make big time throws. So you could see him really like carrying Ole Miss to a win, or I could see him just throwing the ball to Kentucky a lot. And you could see Kentucky with, I wouldn't be surprised, like, would be shocked if Kentucky had like 3 interceptions in this game. If it gets to the point where Dart's having to drop back. We heard Mark Stoops talk, like, allude to it. There's not much true dropback game at Ole Miss right now. It's run heavy and play action and QB pull on the zone read. That's really what they're doing on offense. So for Kentucky, it's all going to be about stopping the run.
Yeah, and
you're making, you have to make Dart beat you. I think Kentucky, the plan is get into the second half, turn this into a Levis versus Dart match, and Kentucky feels very, very, very confident that they're going to win that kind of game.
A dart match?
Yeah.
I could throw some old darts around. Okay, shout out to Old Campus Pub. That was a great place to drink in college. And, like, you know, it's a free activity, throwing darts at a board. And you brought up the rushing game. He had a 116 on the ground last week, and it was the most significant snaps he had gotten to that point, but a lot of it's because he did bust off a couple long runs. So, like, he is a weapon of sorts, but it's not like this isn't Anthony Richardson back there where you really gotta be.
He's an athlete, though. He can run around, and what's dangerous is they play with so much space, so he can get in big patches of grass and go for a little bit. So well, they might have to, like, your linebackers are going to have to be careful when defending the run and not, you know, you're going to have to respect the pull aspect of Dart's game.
I think the part that gives me confidence in Kentucky is that you alluded to it earlier. He's played in what, like 6 games, maybe? Six
his 7th career start. The Saturday, right. And he was 7th start.
He was dividing time, too, with Luke Altmyer in those first couple of games as well. Yeah. So, I can, like, you're going up against, I know that they do use space to put stress on you, but, like, can't you just see a scenario where Jacquez Jones just starts messing with him, right? Where, like, him and Square are showing him stuff pre-snap just to try to get him to throw the football to that slant and then jump into a passing lane. This is a very experienced Kentucky secondary. And the part where I think you can exploit it is by just suckering those inexperienced safeties down and then getting the play action pop shot. But even then, like, Dart doesn't scare me that much in the vertical passing game. And neither do any of the, I mean, like, Jordan Watkins, he doesn't really scare me. Mingo's a big guy, but he's not a burner, right? Like, I like Keedron Smith in that lineup as well.
They're slow at receiver. They're slow. Jalen Robinson is their field stretcher, UCF transfer. He's been hurt. That's the one guy that worries me in this game, getting behind Kentucky defense. But Malik Heath and Mingo, I don't like that. They're not – I don't worry about them getting deep on a post, right, behind you off play action. Where they're, it's a lot of, like, RPO glance and fades that they're throwing to these guys. Mingo had a long touchdown in the last game. It was terrible tackling by the Tulsa cornerback in 2 minutes. He just made a cutback and no one was home. Similar to Florida, there's the receivers just don't scare you at Ole Miss. I mean, it's just point blank. They just don't scare you. You know, Michael Trigg is probably the one big matchup issue, and he's not been great to start this year.
He hasn't
provided one completion, one catch over 15 yards. He had an up-and-down fall camp. So, he's a guy Kiffin, I think, has confidence in, but it hasn't come yet. Hopefully it doesn't come Saturday. But it all starts with, you know, slowing down the run, because then you talk about, like, bluffing and linebackers playing some mind games. You can do that if you have – if your front's doing its job and it's getting ball carriers to the ground. Nick, I want to what do you want to get into next year?
Well, yeah, let's dive into this run game and preface it by the fact that they could be out with three significant pieces in this running game. Starting up front with center Caleb Warren, he had a knee injury and missed like the whole second half and then some change, right? Luckett against Tulsa. And then Ulysses, and I forgot Ulysses' last name off Bentley. The top of my head. Bentley, just because Ulysses is such a freaking awesome name.
That's a new transfer.
Yeah, he is likely out. Zach Evans is kind of up in the air. You've had some folks at 24/7 thinking that he's probably out, whereas the guys at On3 have said, like, he might be good to go. So
it smells like he's not practicing this week. He may wake up, see how he feels on Saturday morning, and see if he can go through warmups. That's what this smells like to me. So, yeah, he could be out, and he's –
and he's their best player. I mean, I think that's safe to say, Luckett.
Yeah, I mean, their true freshman, Quinshon Judkins, has really been kind of a revelation. I think he's pretty daggone good. But, yeah, Evans is their most explosive. Like, that is the most explosive guy. Like, we've seen teams hit screens on Kentucky to this point and pop some big runs. Evans is the one that scares you. Like, if he got out in the open field, he's very, very dangerous. So not having him – is scary, but I do want to, Nick, there's some paper tiger energy with this Ole Miss team. Like, it was first week of October last year, Nick. Kentucky hosts a Florida team who was 4-1 in the top, or 3-1, 4-1 in the top 10. They had played Alabama close. Everybody was patting them on the back, and they had just rolled up these big rushing numbers. Florida entered that game ranking number 3 nationally in running yards per game, over 320 yards per game, which was led everyone that's not a service academy. It's number 1 in the country in yards per rush. I had over a 51% success rate. Ole Miss is number 4 in the nation in rushing yards per game. Minnesota is the only Power 5 team, our only non-service academy ahead of them. They're averaging 5.8 yards per rush, which is top 10 nationally, over a 51% rushing success rate. Florida came in and the reason I thought like Florida had a heavy advantage in that game is I thought Kentucky would have problems slowing down their ground game. But I learned a lesson that day that you cannot put too much stock into these big run numbers early in the season, especially when teams are doing something new, which Ole Miss is kind of doing new and what Florida did new. Once you get some tape, these good SEC defenses figure it out. And that day in Lexington, Kentucky held Florida to 171 rush yards on 39 attempts, 4.4 yards per carry, 41% success rate, 20.5% stuff rate. So that means 20% of the runs were no gain or negative loss. If Kentucky does something similar on Saturday, like, they're winning by double digits. And I think you could see that. Like, I really do think they're going to have a lot of – they're going to have success running the ball. If you had me bet on something, I'd be shocked. If Florida ran for, or excuse me, if Ole Miss ran for like 230, 240 yards.
Yeah. And well, especially the way that it's such a point of emphasis on this Kentucky defense. I think if there's anything that worries you, it's the explosive followed by tempo, where you get defensive linemen trapped on the field, right? But
even against Tennessee's tempo they had a bunch of twos and threes playing. They still held Tennessee to right at five, under 5 yards per carry, 150 yards. Like it wasn't they in Tennessee busted one long one, I think a 30-yard touchdown. But other than that, it was fine. I just think they're gonna have a plan. They're gonna figure it out. They got the front, they've got the bodies, they got the linebackers. They're gonna stop and especially if Evans is out, because what happens is they just have Judkins really at tailback. They're gonna have to play somebody new at tailback, and who knows what that looks like. Then you're asking a true freshman a second game in a row to carry the ball. You know, he carried 27 times against Tulsa. You're going to probably ask him to carry the ball 30 times.
Against SEC players, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And this is where you alluded to off the top, too, forcing Jackson Dart to try to beat you, right? Like, that's the name of this game.
It's not just that. It's stop the run. Then you limit play efficiency of play action, and then if you make him drop back, he's gonna throw it to you. He's gonna throw it to Kentucky, and then they just need to capitalize.
So, like, here's my question to you. Here's my counter, because I'm pretty confident in Kentucky stopping the run. However, last week Northern Illinois, they effectively ran the ball right down Kentucky's throat, and I know that not a lot of people could see it because of the stupid ESPN app, but the Cats got on their heels, and that's one thing. A running team, we've seen it with Kentucky over the years, playing with the lead is important. So where is that just an energy thing? Like what's that's really all that's happened is you've given up two long drives to open games, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're probably going to give up another one on Saturday. Like Kiffin's going to have a script. What I want to see is make them score in 14 plays. Don't do the Tennessee thing where they score 21 points in 9 plays off their opening script. Nick, I went back and watched the tape. I didn't think the run defense was terrible. They caught them early. Kentucky comes out lackadaisical. I thought more of an issue was just the pass defense. I didn't think Zion Childress played very well when he came in for Asian. They had a couple busts that led to explosive plays. Northern Illinois got into heavy sets, 12 personnel, and like snuck out a tight end. And I just think they caught Kentucky by a little bit by surprise. So I was more worried, I would say, about the pass defense. I think Kedron Smith, he made a gamble on one big game where he comes inside, outside when he, you know, if you're going to break on that route, he probably needed to be inside the defender. So he broke on the wrong side and it created a big game. If he just plays through the man, he forces an incompletion.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel confident in Kentucky's run defense. I don't know. I just think the defensive line is good, solid. I don't think they're great. I think they're solid. I think they're deep, and I think the linebackers are awesome. So I think they're going to find a way to slow this down. And I think their safeties can tackle too, specifically Jordan Lovett. And there's a lot there I think to like here.
And that was what I was going to add too. Like I'm just going to keep being negative Nancy to make you defend your takes here, Adam Luckett. But Ty Asian out, right? He's been. It was a criticism of him early in his career, his inability to step up and make plays against the run. And also J.J. Weaver out. Asian, too, might play, but he did not play last weekend. He's got a cast on his wrist. We don't know how limited he is. Well, but are you still confident even if both of those guys are sidelined?
I get a little worried if Asian's not out there because of just communication with the tempo and all that. They really need him out there. I think he's – as long as he's progressing, I think he's going to play. We'll see. I mean, that's something I'll be locked in on early. Is he playing just one possession again or what they have to do there? So he worries me. For Weaver, I just think they're probably going to have to play a lot of 5 DBs this week because of Ole Miss's tempo and spread. And even if they had Weaver, I would guarantee Kiffin would have gotten a lot of wide sets to try to get one of those guys out of the box and take advantage of them in coverage. So they were probably going to have to play nickel anyway. What you worry about is like when they get in the red zone, you would want them in to get more stout against the run. and when Wright needs, you know, you don't want Wright playing every snap. You're going to need him to play a lot of snaps, and you would worry if they get up to 80 snaps or so, he could be pretty gassed there at the end.
Well, and to that point, this is where we kind of shift things up and start getting into some of what the Kentucky offense needs to do Saturday against Ole Miss. There's a lot of there's a lot of things that Chris Rodriguez can do to improve this Kentucky football team. And one of them you hit right there on 80 some odd snaps, right? If the defense is on the field a lot, Kentucky's explosive, and that's a very good thing offensively. It can erase a lot of mistakes, but you can score too quick and leave your defense vulnerable. So getting Chris Rodriguez back just to chew up some yards, chew up some clock, I think that's a very unheralded aspect of this. I don't think I need to put on a, he has to get X amount of yards in order for it to be a successful first time out. If he's just able to get those aggravating yards, not only is it going to make those third downs more manageable, but it's really, really going to help the defense catch some wind against that tempo.
Yeah, I mean, we saw in the Florida game what Mark Stoops wants to do, right?
Get a lead, grind it out.
Yeah, so that's where he's going to be huge in this game. 4-minute offense, obviously, when you need to run the ball. Ole Miss plays a dime-based defense, which their goal is to take away explosive plays, willing to live with death by paper cuts, right? They're willing to give you 4 or 5 yards on the ground if you want to take advantage of it. For Kentucky, it's there as long as the front doesn't whiff on blocks. And so I think they're going to have success on the ground. I think just having Smoke and Rodriguez be your two guys at tailback, I think, is really big this week.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, and not, also, like,
the drop off just been big when Smoke's not in there the first four games. It just has.
And McClain was used lightly. He did have a nice couple plays.
He did have a nice cut on that toss play.
Yeah, nice cut. And then he had a nice catch on that third down where he was the, the check down, was able to scramble to get that first down. But I also think, too, like, they've really talked a lot about his ability to set up runs. And I feel like there's been the most successful runs in my eyes have been their pin and pull scheme, because it's pretty you got this guy, you got this guy, here's where the hole's supposed to be. Whereas they want to be more outside zone, and that outside zone is really dependent on the running back. It's a lot of it's on them to find the cutbacks. And if you go back and watch Monday Night Football this week, Saquon Barkley, he had, it was the most beautiful outside zone run where they got the momentum shifting wide. And I don't even know if he got wider than where the guard initially lined up. He didn't have to stretch that far horizontally before the cutback presented itself. And I just don't think the guys they've had in have been particularly good at finding those cutbacks and also setting them up. And when you set them up, sometimes you're just going to have to push through a wall of bodies to get 4 yards. And that's another thing that Chris Rodriguez brings to the table.
Yeah, I think this week specifically, by design, Ole Miss is light on the edges. They're light in the britches. They're going to play a tight front where kind of you have a nose tackle, and then the two ends are going to be kind of head up on the tackles, or maybe on the inside eye, inside shoulder. So there's going to – so pin and pull to the outside, and – outside zone, I think, will be big this week in the run game. We'll see what Chris can bring there, right? Toss plays, I think, could have a lot of success. We'll see what Chris can bring there. But, yeah, I think for Kentucky to win this game, they have to have a good running game. Not great, but they need to get to, 150 yards rushing, because Ole Miss is just giving it to you with the way they play, with the way I think they're going to play. So you got to take advantage of that, and it's going to, I think, it's going to make protection easier when you can establish the run, and it's going to make third downs more manageable, like you alluded to.
And here's the other side of the coin, too, is how Chris Rodriguez helps the passing game, because that's something that you think of Chris, you think of just throwing down dudes and then getting hard fought yards. But what you don't think about, and this is a stat, I'm going to have it a post later on this week, so you can check it out there, but I know that, anecdotally, they haven't run play action as much as they did early on in the season, because they just they haven't been able to. That boot's been ineffective. That's going to be much more effective. The pass pro, that's going to be much more effective. Like, he's just a bigger body. And then, look, we were standing there on the sidelines at Fan Day when he had that awesome one-handed grab. Like, that was a badass play. There, he should...
He's a big part of the offense. Like, you know, he's a pretty big deal over there. Like, he was going to be an important cog here, and they've played four games without him. So, he's going to change things. And, like I said, I think there was a drop-off, and it's just going to be nice to not have that. And he's going to create runs with his yard-after-contact ability. It's just going to – I'm excited to see him. Excited to see what he can do.
I hope I muted that. I tried to get to that mute for that sneeze. I don't know if I did or not.
I think I didn't hear it.
Okay, good, good. Man, sometimes you get – the sneeze hits you, and, like, my whole body just feels like it got to exhale. That was outstanding. Shout out to my radio producer, Justin, who says he loves sneezing and would sneeze 100 times a day if he could. Producers, they're the weirdest people, right, Steven? Yeah, just a bunch of weirdos.
That's why they call him the dingus, not Steven, but your radio producer.
Look at
Nick, I hope you're doing better in PT's picks.
I'm leading in PT's picks. I'm using basically the same picks on pick three and PT's picks of the week, and I'm first in PT's picks of the week. And I'm
using the same.
I'm usually changing like one, right? Like I'll take somebody else's. Like I really liked the Arkansas, so I got a push there. Shout out to buying a point online. We'll get to pick three. We'll have that for you to view shortly. But I also flipped from Hawaii to New Mexico State in my personal coffers and did well there. So I wasn't that confident that bad. I was swinging.
Oh man.
We have some stuff.
So basically, you're betting the opposite. You're already fade. The fade Roush principle is strong even in of yourself. You're giving picks
already.
you're giving people picks. Say this is what I would bet on. Then you're betting on the opposite. So
that's what they'd be doing too. They were smart. I will say I'm going to check it out right now. Like it down at Florida, the money line wasn't worth a whole lot, right? Like it was very light in the hay. But let me check it right now. Like right now, Kentucky's getting 7 points, and it's plus 210. Like, how do you
Where not? Is it at 7 yet? It's at FanDuel?
I finally got it at DraftKings at 7. It was at 6.5 for the longest time.
Oh, it's at 7 at DraftKings now.
That
is the one thing scaring me about this game, because
It doesn't make sense.
4 was a good line. That's where I would have set it at, because you do have to give Ole Miss some respect for handling their business against
having good a good team. Play caller, right? Like they're at home, you know. Yeah. Like you give them some benefit of the doubt. But all the line moving that way is this just a logo game, right? Like
if you look up, you know, like you look up Kentucky, you've heard Kentucky can't pass protect,
right?
Against that even in the bad teams are getting a lot of sacks on them. People very easily talk themselves into like Richardson was hurt against Florida. I think logos gets into it there. The line's been surprising to me. The team total for Ole Miss is 30.5, and I would take that under.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I got in a little trouble with that last week, betting team total unders. I felt feisty there and made a last-minute wager, and that didn't go so well after giving up that opening drive. It was a very low number, a little risky on my end.
That's the one thing scaring me. Like, why? I think they set the line right. Why are they so fast to move it?
I just don't get it. Don't quite understand it. Other than a ton of money pouring in for old Ronnie Rebel. I want to get back quickly to their defense because it is so it's kind of bizarre, right? Like, I get it against some teams, especially a team like Tennessee where you've got all those DBs. They're going to have to change it up, right? Like, I mean, especially the way that Kentucky likes to play tight and kind of let the box be crowded up. Like, that I just don't know how Brendan Bates is going to just eat some poor little safety's face off. I mean, there's going to be pancakes all over the field if they keep trying to do this. I don't understand where the advantage is if they stick to that.
Let's draw this out right here. Like, it's essentially a 3-3-3 defense with two corners on the outside. So you got 3D linemen. You got two linebackers and a safety walked up as like an overhang defender on either side. and then you got three deep safeties. Essentially, the middle safety deep is kind of the free runner, like the old school rover defenses, where he's going to be – he's read and run the entire time, and then he, if he reads pass, he's going to kind of settle down in the middle of the field and play crossers, essentially, unless there's like a pressure package or whatever. So for that, you're giving ground yards, but you're not creating enough. Like, this defense became popular at Iowa State because it gave air raid teams a lot of issues, and it was very good at big play prevention. And so, like, that is where it's got its popularity. Now, for Ole Miss, like, I get why Lane Kiffin likes this defense. He's got an offense he thinks is going to score a lot of points. He needs a defense that's going to make teams earn points and not give up a bunch of explosive plays and hopefully force takeaways, because they're going to try to confuse your quarterback with the different alignments. And so that is why you run this defense. But it does, like with any defense, it has its weaknesses. Like, if you there's going to be soft zones you can take advantage of in the middle, intermediate parts of the field.
Okay, big Tavian Robinson game.
Right. So, or tight ends, like tight ends up the seam, I think could be huge here, especially in play action, because that middle safety is going to bite, and then you got two split safeties. You can sneak a tight end up the seam, and then, like I said, attacking the edges of the defense. Especially, like, if you can run outside zone well, like, it can be big for you this week.
Here's another line of thought, because it was something that, you know, threw our boss off guard when he saw the headline. When you feel it out, it makes sense. But Kentucky's given up 16 sacks. Only Akron and I forget who else have have given up more. And they're like, come on, bring the blitz on. A lot of teams have thrown a lot of stuff at this offense.
Look at the Bengals last year.
But when they hold up, it creates explosives. I mean, three touchdowns last week were just, all right, you're blitzing. Well, we're going to throw it over.
Look at the Bengals last year.
Yeah.
So you want to bring pressure, go ahead. We'll take some hits, but we're going to like, it's like a power hitter in baseball. You can pitch to me. You might strike me out a few times, but I'm going to hit a home. I'm going to hit home runs enough. I'm going to hit doubles into the gap enough where we're going to score on when I make contact. And that's kind of the thing here. The good and how explosive it is going to outweigh the bad.
And so that brings me to this point, because that's one relatively big unknown, because they haven't played anybody yet. Is Ole Miss going to mirror Kentucky's previous opponents? Are they going to?
I don't see how they don't in the beginning to at least try to make them earn. I mean, we've seen three opponents do it in a row. It's not like Kentucky has lit the scoreboard on fire in those three games. So I think they're going to do it again. And then once Kentucky hits a big play, they're probably going to get out of it and just play their typical drop seven most of the time, drop eight when more times than you probably think they're going to, and then have their little their five-man pressure calls where they're twisting linebackers, twisting ends and stuff like that. But I do think Ole Miss has some potential, like, good pass rushers. Like, Cedric Johnson's a good pass rusher, number two. Georgia Tech transfer Jared Ivey, number 15, can rush the passer a little bit. J.J. Pegues, Auburn transfer. It's a pretty good interior player. So, like, they're gonna create some pressure for Levis. It's just going to make sure – that's the danger with this defense. When they create pressure and then knowing where all the safeties are and how they're playing, that's the danger. So getting the ball out quick, I think, is going to be big early, and really just hitting that play so they have to kind of play more traditionally would help. I think Kentucky probably wouldn't hate if they wanted to blitz six every time.
They could be without their leading tackles for loss guy, Kari Coleman. He's probably out. And then I don't know his name. They've called him number three, but their top safety got a targeting
Otis
in
the
first half. Oh, that's Otis Reese. Yeah.
He's their nickel clash overhang defender. Kind of, they bring him in the box. Like, he's going to be in the box a lot.
He's going to get 12 tackles a game. Right. clean up all the mistakes in the run game. Having him out, that is huge. That is huge. And I think
first half.
Yeah. That it gets back to your first half point. And ultimately, when handicapping this game, when I just start taking step backs from just abroad. I mean, we've been getting into the nitty gritty when breaking down this Ole Miss football team, but taking steps back and looking at it from 10,000 feet, it goes back to what Lane Kiffin was saying at SEC Media Days when he was really sandbagging this crew, because there's so much unknown. 18 guys in the transfer portal. A lot of them are starting at very important positions. There's just a lot more known qualities with this Kentucky football team than there was with this Ole Miss team. Like, the variance is so much lower. The floor is so much higher with this Kentucky team. Whereas, like, I know things can get a little wonky if you start turning the ball over like crazy, right? But if you throw the turnovers or the injuries, like the big game-changing type stuff, all this out the window, Kentucky plays a relatively clean game. I just think they're a far better team.
Yeah. First off, Ole Miss has the ingredients of every year we see a team get off to a hot start, high ranking, and the bottom falls out, and then you look up, they're 5-7, 6-6 at the end of the year. I think Ole Miss has those ingredients this year. Shaky quarterback play, very, very run heavy, but that's not going to last against better teams. A defense that overwhelms some bad opponents but has obvious holes, I think. New offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. Just a lot of exchange there. And you mentioned take care of the ball. And this may be another reason why the spread is what it is. Kentucky's 2-8 ATS and SEC West road games. Mm-hmm. They've only scored over 20 points once in these games, Nick, and that was Stoops' first year, 2013.
The Jalen Whitlow onside kick at
They lay eggs, and they play sloppy last year. Four turnovers at Mississippi State. Can't get the run game going at all. Will Levis plays one of his worst games of the year. 2019 total hangover game. Sawyer Smith throws a pick six. First series, game's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2017 go down there and just get thumped by a good Mississippi State team.
That was hilarious though when Vince Marrow was just chewing everybody's ass out while we were in the media room right next to him. So there was at least one funny moment.
2015, it was the beginning of a long losing streak to Mississippi State. 2014, get thumped at LSU. Offense never has a prayer. I mean, it's just a long. A&M 2018, offense was just god awful,
dreadful, so bad,
and you still almost won the game. So they're due a good offensive performance here. They need to play well on offense. I think it's a big week for Rich Scangarello. You got your guy back now. It's time to, they've been a little underwhelming through the first few weeks, but Levis is playing really good, so people are kind of ignoring that. He has offensive line. But now is the time. They need to get going here. They need to start going on a run, and this is a big week. Scangarello versus a new play caller. He needs to win that head-to-head matchup. You got the quarterback. You got the running back. And you got good receivers. You need to go put points up on this Ole Miss defense. There's no excuse. You need to go and score points here.
Yeah.
I think it's a big week for him. And so I just need to see how that all shakes out. And it's a great – this is the moment for Will Levis. Florida game, you just kind of hung in there. You won it. You played well, but you didn't go win the game. This feels like a moment go show them why you're going to be – while you're pushing for number one pick status.
Yeah.
Go make some plays. You got a full assortment of weapons now. You've got a running game. Go show us why you are considered a dude by people in the scouting community.
McShay will be down there. Big time. Really love having McDonough and Todd Blackledge.
One of great the most,
most underrated just broadcasting crews, period.
And you're going to have – they should have the Sky Cam, Nick.
Oh yeah.
For me personally, I'm gonna get to go back and watch the All 22 of this game, man, which I am very excited about. And you're gonna have all the fancy cameras, and it's gonna be a very, very good broadcast. And remember how they talked up Richardson for the Florida game? It's gonna be Levis is getting that treatment this week. We've already had Chris Rowe wrote a big feature on him on ESPN.com.
Somebody, Levis told us
he is going to be the broadcast. He is going to be the broadcast.
Yeah. So, Levis, go make it happen. Go be our next great superstar at quarterback for Kentucky. Look, it. I'm fired up for this weekend. It's going to be a little different watching from home. I'm on baby watch, so I can't be down there in Oxford. But I know that you will be holding the torch high for the KSR crew. You got this. You got this.
I will be one of many KSR people there, but I will be the only one working.
I'd love to. We'll probably have more KSR people at one game, but we'll have fewer people working than ever before.
I know. But so everybody else, I'm going to have fun still, but yeah, I'll be, won't have much much tailgate fun, and it'll be grinding, but it's all worth it. Very, very excited, Nick. I think it's just a great opportunity for Kentucky. The way I break down the game, I just think Kentucky's better. I think they're going to go win. I think there's potential paper tiger here in Ole Miss. I think you look at Kentucky's pass defense, we've seen the ball production. 20 pass breakups, 3 interceptions. We haven't seen the big interception game yet. We had 2 at Richardson, but they're due a 3-4 interception game. Dart has a high PBU INT rate since he started. Like, I could see them picking him off 3 times if Ole Miss has to get a little pass happy. And I think Kentucky's going to stop the run, and they become easier to defend if Evans isn't in there. That just is what it is. Become easier to defend if he can't go, even if he's limited. I mean, if he's playing on a hip pointer 1 week later, that's typically like a 2-week injury to recover from.
Those suck too. If you've ever had
one, it's going to bother him all year, right?
They suck so bad. It's like that and turf toe are like the 2 most underrated. Like, these things don't sound that bad, but they're just the worst thing ever.
Yeah, and then you got C-Rod. You should be able to run the ball better this week. Like, they ran for, I think, 140 non-sack yards against Florida. Right at 5 yards per. I don't think it's crazy to expect them to get like 160, 170 non-sack yards with Rodriguez. That's what they probably get at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sack numbers make it look a lot worse. And the damn punt snap. You look in the box score, like, you're going to look back 10 years and think Florida totally stopped the run, when really that wasn't the case. Like, they limited the run, but Kentucky had success on the ground, especially in that second half. I just think there's a lot there. I think Kentucky should go down there and win this game. I really do.
Love that energy, Luckett. Absolutely love it. I've got nothing else left on the game other than Lane. It's been a treat. But can't wait to kick your ass. He's due for one. Cats are 0-2. They've both been just
heartbreakers.
Like crazy heartbreakers. Too.
OT.
High scoring. Yeah. So you had last year's game, or 2 years game, excuse me, during the COVID year, we had missed PAT in overtime, and then it was his 1 year at Tennessee where that wasn't the Randall Cobb game, though, was it?
Yeah, they didn't get the ball to Cobb.
That one.
They were down 3 or whatever.
And that one's tough. Yeah, yeah.
And then Nick, Ole Miss has beat Kentucky the last 2 in Lexington, but they were a dog in each, so the dog has won outright in the series, Road Dog.
Ooh.
So that's something to keep an eye on. Really, really weird that they played 3 in Lexington since they played 1 in Oxford.
Yeah.
2011, 2017, 2020.
Really weird. Really weird how the schedules work out. Stoops joked about it on the teleconference today. He's like, yeah, I've been to Bama like 4 times, and I'm just now going to Oxford.
Yeah.
Give me a freaking break here.
Yeah, so I just – it's another Kentucky – or Ole Miss as – a home favorite of a touchdown or less under Lane Kiffin, or just a regular favorite as a touchdown or less, 1-4 against the spread under Kiffin. The only cover was against Tennessee, which really probably should have been a loss last year.
The mustard game.
And then Kentucky in their last 5 as a dog of 7 or less, 4-1 against the spread, 4 outright wins. So there's trends going Kentucky's favor if you just want to ignore the SEC West. thing, you know, for Kentucky, it's all going to be about getting a run game going and just don't let Levis become a punching bag back there in the pocket on dropbacks. Limit the run game and make Jackson Dart beat you. I think that's the winning recipe for the Big Blue this weekend.
Well, we've got it cooked up for you. Luckett, have a safe trip down to Oxford, as well as all of you all around the Big Blue Nation. Maybe you're listening to us on the way down there. We appreciate you tuning in, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, whether it's on Spotify, whether it's on KSR YouTube channel. We got so much good stuff going up there right now. So make sure you're subscribed to it all. And we'll be back again next week. for 11 personnel on Wednesday nights. Until then, go Cats and go Kroger.